Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome back to Adrian. It's lovely to have him back with us today, and thank you for taking our service. This week's notices, Tuesday, 7:30 on Zoom, it's our house group. I honestly can't remember if we discussed what we're doing, did we?
No.
But can't remember what I'd want. Never mind, come along, it'll be fantastic. Don't worry, it'll be brilliant, whichever one we go for. Wednesday morning, there is no coffee morning this week, so don't turn up. Park School are here, they're using it for their leavers assembly. There's various of the bits added. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock at the Corn Market Hall, Seagrave Singers will be performing, friends and family, free entrance. Please come along if you'd like to support us. It's just a fun night for the end of our year. Sunday, the 6th of August, afternoon tea and craft demonstration. Now, you will need to book a ticket if you want to come to the afternoon tea, so we know how much to buy. So please see either Sandra or Keith to get your tickets and let us know of any special dietary requirements. Today is the last day for the newsletter, so any items, let Keith have those as soon as possible. And we will be celebrating Ivy's dedication here on Sunday, the 30th of July. And Leah and Adam would like to invite everyone to stay on and join in the celebration for a lunch after the service. So if you'd like to come along to that as well, please let Joy and Leah know so, again, they can work out the catering. There you go, the blind beggar or Simon the sorcerer. And one last bit, we have a birthday. So, happy birthday to Martin, who is looking elsewhere. I forgot one. We do need to call a special church meeting on Wednesday the 26th of July. It will be on Zoom and it will only take about 10 minutes. It's just to finalise payments for the car park work. So sorry, Adrian, for making so long. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here again. And come this morning, and let our ears hear the sweet sound of the Word of God. Come, let our hearts understand the true meaning of the Word of God. As the Father now reveals Himself, let us be silent and listen. Let us seek to hear and understand. And we're going to sing Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning. Here as we Let us pray. Living God, in this building used to the sound of singing, this building which has seen baptisms and funerals,
this building where people have come to be married or to celebrate the birth of a child, this building where people have wept and been filled with joy, this building where people have wrestled with the deep things of life, have prayed urgently, been stirred and changed. In this building where you have so often been with your people, be with us now, we pray. Amen. I wanted to start with a thought of a tree. Now, it's not just the picture of a tree. Normally, we see, look at a tree and we see the trunk and the branches and the leaves and everything else. But this morning, I wanted to think about what's beneath the tree. Because have you ever wondered why a tree doesn't blow over in the wind? Well, not often blow over in the wind. Well, any individual tree only blows over once in the wind, doesn't it? But the reason is that the tree has roots which anchor it into the soil. And the roots are hidden. We don't see the roots of a tree. And from this tree you can see that the roots are actually more than the tree itself. Without roots, the tree would die, because as well as supporting the tree, the roots spread out, seeking water and nutrients, the things that the tree needs to live. In our reading in a little while, we're going to hear about how Jesus told the parable of the sower, and how if plants, trees don't have sufficient roots to get sufficient water, when the sun comes out, the plant shrivels up and dies. It's the same with us as followers of Jesus. Our faith in doing the will of God should be apparent to all who view us, but it's only going to be vibrant and apparent if we have those roots underpinning the work, the foundation that we need. The roots of our faith help us to stand tall and make it through any tough times that try to bend us. The roots of our faith are what keep us from toppling over when the winds of adversity blow around us. Lord God, we thank you that you do feed us, that you do look after us, that we are able to praise you as the creator of the earth and the wonder of all its life, for the beauty of landscape and sky, for the variety of seasons, animals and plants, for all the interdependence that they have one on another. And we thank you for making us to be part of it all. We just pray, Lord, that you will help us to look after your creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now going to sing, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. Thank you. somebody who's going to come and read our Bible reading for us this morning.
Today's is Matthew 13, starting at verse 1, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus left the house and went to the lakeside, where he sat down to teach. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it, while the crowd stood on the shore. He used parables to sell them many things. Once there was a man who went to sow corn. As he scattered the seed in the field, some of it fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some of it fell on rocky ground, where there was little soil. The seed soon sprouted because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it burnt the young plant, and because the roots had not grown deep enough, the plant soon dried up. Some of the seed fell among thorn bushes, which grew up and choked the plants. But some of the seeds fell in good soil, and the plants produced corn. Some produced 100 grains, others 60, and others 30. And Jesus concluded, "Listen then, if you have ears." The purpose of the parables. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" Jesus answered, "The knowledge about the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. For the purpose who has something will be given more, so that he have more than enough. But the person who has nothing will have taken away from him even the little he has. The reason I use parables in talking to them is that they look, but they do not see, and they listen, but do not hear or understand. So the prophecy of Isaiah applies to them. This people will listen and listen, but not understand. They will look and look, but not see, because their minds are dull, and they have stopped up their eyes and have closed their eyes. Otherwise their eyes would see, their ears would hear, their minds would understand, and they would turn to me, says God, and I would heal them. As for you, how fortunate you are, your eyes see and your ears hear. I assure you that many prophets and many of God's people wanted very much to see what you see, but they could not, and to hear what you hear, but they did not." So Jesus explains the parable of the sower. "Listen then, and learn what the parable of the sower means. Those who hear the message about the kingdom and do not understand it are like the seeds that fell along the path. The evil one comes and snatches away what they have sown in them. The seeds that fell on rocky ground stand for those who receive the message gladly as soon as they hear it, but it does not sink deep into them and they don't last long. So when trouble or persecution comes because of the message, they give up at once. The seeds that fell among the bushes for those who hear the message, but the worries about this life and the love of riches choke the message, and they don't bear fruit. And the seeds sown in the good soil stand for those who hear the message and understand it. They bear fruit, some of them as much as 100, others 60, and others 30. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man sowed good seed in his field. One night, when everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants grew and the ears of corn began to form, then the weeds showed up. The man's servants came into him and said, 'Sir, it was good seed that you sowed in your field. Where did the weeds come from?' 'It was some enemy who did this,' he answered. 'Do you want us to go and pull up the weeds?' they asked him. 'No,' he answered, 'because as you gather up the weeds, you might pull up some of the wheat along with them. Let the wheat and the weeds grow together until harvest. Then I will tell the harvest workers to pull up the weeds first, tie them in bundles and burn them, and then to gather in the wheat and put it in my barn.'"
Thank you for those words read from the Gospel of Matthew. What do you think Jesus meant when he said, "Those who have ears to hear, let them hear or listen"? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Things get lost in translation. I know some people here spent many attempts at passing German O levels and things like that. But when we translate from one language to another, sometimes we lose the meaning of the words. We lose nuances. And sometimes in our Bibles, what is read is it's translated as hear, and sometimes it's translated as listen. But what's the difference between hearing and listening? Well, this slide gives us some idea. So, for example, you will hear a fire alarm, but I doubt whether you ever sit and listen to a fire alarm. Would that be true? You know, you hear it, but you don't listen to it. Hearing doesn't require effort, but listening does. If we're going to listen, we actually have to sit there and consciously listen to it. You make a decision to listen. You deliberately pay attention to what is being said. So, hearing, did you hear that noise? Listening, are you listening to me? Or am I just noise to you? You can hear somebody talking, but you need to listen to them to understand what they are saying. And my next slide says that there are stages to listening. We have to receive, we have to understand, we have to remember, we have to evaluate, and we have to give feedback if we're truly listening. Now, what is interesting, as I said, things that get lost in translation. The word in Aramaic that Jesus would have used for hear actually means much more than hear. It includes the concept of listening, but it actually means even more than just listening. I looked it up, not very good at Aramaic, but I think it's something like Shema or Shama, something like that is the word he would have used. And it means to listen, to understand, and to act upon it. So when Jesus was telling us to hear, if we have ears, he was telling us to listen and to understand. What do we need to listen to? Well, sometimes when we're listening to somebody, there is quite a lot of listening that we do when we see somebody and we see the way they are speaking. Body language, we sometimes call it, don't we? You know, somebody can be very, very sincere sounding, but actually, if we look at their face, we can see they don't mean it. There's a story of a father who was a father of several children, and he was quite an outgoing personality. And one of his children, one of his little daughters, was very quiet and shy, you know, said very little. She didn't express herself very much in terms of language and what she said. And the father was puzzled and bewildered about this because it was directly opposite to what he was like. But one day he gave his quiet little daughter a present. It was a necklace with an elegant glass elephant on a gold chain. He put it on the table before her and said, "I've bought you this present." The girl was overwhelmed. Her mouth dropped open and she stared at it. She looked at it for several minutes, staring, unable to speak. And then she got up and went into the other room to tell her mother what had happened. When she returned, she was devastated because she saw her beautiful little elephant dangling from her sister's neck. In a kind of offhanded way, the father said, "Well, you didn't want it, so I gave it to your sister." Didn't want it. He wasn't listening. He wasn't listening to the joy of her silence. Have you ever thought about that? That sometimes we need to listen to silence? He hadn't listened enough to know what his daughter was really like. We need to be very careful when we're listening to people, don't we? Because all so often, we think people are like us. And if people aren't like us, we find it difficult to understand them. In today's gospel lesson that was read for us, Jesus was speaking to a crowd gathered to hear him preach. And he talks to them in parables. Jesus lived in a society that highly valued the sense of hearing. Very few people could read. Moreover, reading materials were costly and rare. People depended on word of mouth to acquire knowledge, and they were accustomed to listening and memorizing. If you were deaf in Jesus' time, a deaf person was almost totally isolated. They were not only cut off from the sounds of the world and the voices of their fellow human beings, but actually, under Roman law of the time, a deaf person was classified as mentally incompetent. Well, they couldn't hear, they couldn't understand, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Scientists in our time have worked on deafness, and we don't view people who are deaf as mentally incompetent anymore. But many of us still have problems communicating with a deaf person, don't we? Communication being that we can communicate, we can say things to them, and we can get understanding back from them. We find it difficult. But there are many things that doctors can do nowadays, and sometimes they can even cure deafness. They can look at the ear, the inside of the ear, and they can see that what it is that's not quite right. Maybe there's skin that is too thick. Maybe there is fluid which is stopping the hearing. And sometimes they are able to take somebody who's been profoundly deaf and cure that deafness. And what they find sometimes is that a deaf person who suddenly finds that they can hear find the exposure to the world of sound a frightening experience. When we live and we're hearing all the sounds of the world around us, we actually filter out most of that sound, so we don't hear the background noise of the traffic when we're talking to somebody generally. We filter it out. But somebody who's been deaf and is suddenly hearing, they've got all these sounds and they don't know how to filter it out. And it's not uncommon for a cured deaf person to actually long for their world of silence again. It takes time to learn how to interpret sounds and distinguish between those which threaten and those which do not. In other words, they have to learn to listen. Being born with the ability to hear is not our own doing, but the ability to listen is an art we must develop ourselves. And this parable of Jesus, he is telling us to learn how to listen. Jesus often told the people he was talking to, you have heard this or you've heard that, and then tells them to go and do what is right, having heard what has been said. How good are you at listening to what God has got to say to you? It's quite incredible how when we read a passage from the Bible, we hear a passage from the Bible read. It can be a passage that we've heard read many, many times over the years. And all of a sudden it's read, or we read it, and something leaps out of it that we've never thought of before. When we're in church and we're listening to the message or sermon, whatever you like to call it, are you all hearing and listening and understanding the same thing? Whether sitting in a front pew or a back pew or somewhere in between, our ears may be wide open to hear God's word, but unless our hearts are open to receive the message, we are not listening. We're actually spiritually deaf. We've got to learn to listen. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom without understanding, we're told in that parable that the evil one comes and carries off what was sown in the heart. One may enjoy the word of the kingdom, but if it does not take root, it does not last, and they fall away. Neither the parables of Jesus, nor the sermons on the mount, nor 10,000 eloquent sermons preached from this or any other pulpit will advance the cause of Christ a single step on their own. Christianity is not preached merely to be heard, but be taken to the heart and lived. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people's talking without speaking, people hearing without listening. Anybody know where that quote come, the song, The Sound of Silence. And that song, those words, reflect a keen insight that is possibly responsible for most of the alienation that exists among human beings today. How good are you at listening and understanding the people who are closest to you? Husbands and wives. How often does one of you say something to the other and the other one totally misunderstand what was intended, what was said? Ever had that experience? You know, I have. I thought I was saying a really nice compliment, something really nice, and it wasn't heard that way. And vice versa. We need to listen. We need to understand, but we also need to respond. Because it's only when we respond that the person we're listening to can start to understand whether we've understood what they meant. Wars and conflicts have occurred because people didn't hear and understand what was being said. They misinterpreted, they misunderstood it. They heard what they thought was being said rather than what was actually being said. We need to listen to God. But we also need to talk to God, because only by having that conversation do we get to really understand what God is talking to us. And in the words, the word that Jesus used, that Shema word for hearing, God wants us to listen and to make adjustment in our lives that is then necessary to do the action that God is calling us to do. To allow the voice of forgiveness, compassion, and love to penetrate our soul. Listen to God. Resist every temptation to return to the old sounds of vengeance, retribution, and hate. Listen to him. To listen to God's word, we need to turn towards him in complete openness, love, and trust. We need to turn toward God as a flower turns toward the sun. Have you ever seen that in the garden, the flower? You know, we tend to think of plants as being immobile, don't we? But they're not. The flower will actually turn so it is in the sunlight. We need to turn towards the sunlight of God. And only in that attitude of reverential listening can we confront our most profound and most authentic self, the part of us that's responsible for taking words and actions. Religion is a way of walking, not a way of talking. You know, sometimes we get told, don't we, that we spend an awful lot of time talking about things and then we run out of time to do anything about it. So, the message today is listen to him, But in listening, be prepared. And the more you listen, the closer you will get to God. The more you listen to him, the closer you will get to one another. In other words, what we need to be listening for is love. Are you listening to the love of God this morning? In a moment, we're going to gather around the communion table to celebrate the sacrifice that Christ made. Christ's sacrifice that he made in love for each one of us. So, as we gather together, let us sing the song. Right. Sarah. Which one are we singing now?
Lord, I come to you.
Lord, I come. That's. Yeah.
Oh,
gather around this table, spread with bread and with wine. And come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Come not to testify that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciples. Come not because you're strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but because in your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus said, listen, I stand at the door and knock. If any hear my voice and open the door, I will come into the house and eat with them, and they with me. We now have a prayer of thanksgiving for bread and wine.
Let us pray. Living God, we praise and thank you for your love shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and his ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power by lifting up the downtrodden, healing the sick, and loving the loveless. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross, for the redemption of the world, and for raising him to life again, as a foretaste of the glory we shall all share. Help us to use this gift to our full potential, to confidently believe that we are forgiven through Christ, and to grow in faith and love day by day until we come at last to the joy of eternal salvation. We pray for our world today, in these times of enlightenment, sin, war, slavery, hate and oppression seem more prevalent than ever. In the face of these challenges, we turn to you as our source of strength and hope. Grant that we may remain full of courage, that we will spread your light throughout the world. As individuals, we know that whether we are full of concern or full of joy, you are with us. And when we stand together in fellowship, we feel your strength and compassion even more strongly. Help us to add to the beauty of the world you created. You gave us your Son to be our guide and our comfort. We thank you and praise you for this wondrous gift. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Jesus took the bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me." We eat the bread as we receive it, acknowledging that Christ died for each one of us. He died for each of us as an individual. So let us take the bread and eat. After supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." As we receive the cup of wine, we retain it that we might drink it together, in significance of the fact that it is through Christ's death on the cross, through his blood, that we are united together in his people, one with each other. Drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. And now, before we pray, we're going to sing. Jesus, stand among us.
Thank you.
Great God, we pray for the world in which Jesus lived, which he loved and taught us to love, and for which he died. We pray for those who are hurting, and remember them that we know in our hearts. We pray for those who are fearful. We remember them in our hearts. We pray for those who are grieving. We remember them in our hearts. Loving God, so close to these and brothers and sisters for whom we pray, may they find you in their pain, within their fear, and sharing their sadness. And finding you, may they find healing for their hurt, love for their fear, and peace for their distress. And Father God, forgive us for sowing the seeds of sin. Forgive us when we close our eyes to the needs of elders, especially for companionship. When we shut our ears to the needs of the young, especially for understanding. When we clench our fists to the needs of the poor, and as we reap our sinful harvest, we cut ourselves off from our own greatest need, the grace of realizing your loving presence. For all our sin, we ask you to forgive us, Father. Amen. Say the prayer that Jesus taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. And we finish with our final hymn, There's a Sound on the Wind, like a victory song. Thank you. kingdom of God is like a man who sowed good seed. The kingdom of God is like leaven. The kingdom of God is like a tiny mustard seed. Go now, sow good seed in the world, be a leaven in society, and like the tiny mustard seed, grow tall and strong into the kingdom of God. And let us share the grace together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.